You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin Wakes Up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us on today. You are listening, of course, to the Civic Media Network. It's 7:06 right now. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Well, it is time. Yes, it's our Accelerate Your Summer Text to Win multi-state contest. Every day through next week, Monday through Friday, of course, we're going to give you a chance to win $100 and a Wisconsin Dells prize package. Every time you enter, you're in our grand prize drawing, eligible for a $250 in gas and another $250 in groceries. So what do I have to do, Brian? You have to listen to Jamie. She's going to tell you what to do.
All right. So get your Civic Media app ready to roll. If you haven't already downloaded that, remember you can get it for free in your Apple or your Google stores. And then you've got to text us the word that I'm about to give you. And the word this hour is park, P-A-R-K. Park is your word that needs to be texted in this hour so that you can qualify for all of the great prizes that Brian just nicely laid out. But again, park is your word. P-A-R-K. Text that word to us before 8 a.m. so that you are qualified. And remember, you are going to have multiple chances to qualify throughout the day. And the best part about this contest is that there's no limit on entries. Right?
Perfect.
So you can enter now, you can enter later this morning and throughout the day, and then it just ups the chances that you have at winning the cash and the prizes. So again, park is your word this hour, P-A-R-K. But we'll remind you throughout the morning so that you can text in.
Yes, we'll remind you, and then there'll be a new word at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But this word is good until 8, so
yes.
Park. P-A-R-K.
Oh, look at all of you. Thank you, everybody, already texting in this morning.
Nicely done.
You guys are on top
of it. Now you know that, but there's other stuff you need to know.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Well, the first piece of you need to know, a new report warns that about 1 in 4 Wisconsin child care providers could close or significantly reduce services when pandemic-era child care funding expires on June 30th. The funding helps stabilize child care centers during and after COVID, allowing providers to hire staff, avoid larger tuition increases, and reverse years of declining child care availability. Nearly 75% of producers say they'll likely raise tuition if the funding disappears, potentially costing families an additional $1,300 to $2,600 per child each year.
Wow.
Excuse me. Providers say they're already struggling with rising costs, and some families have left child care programs because they can no longer afford tuition, forcing some parents to leave the workforce. So there's the vicious cycle we get into. Child care advocates warn that without permanent state funding, child care could become increasingly unaffordable for middle-class families, making it harder for parents to work, and worsening Wisconsin's workforce shortages. Ruth Schmidt from Wisconsin Early Childhood Association is going to join us tomorrow morning to talk all about this and how dire this situation actually is. But imagine having to pay another $1,300 to $2,600 a year.
I can't imagine. I don't know how families are doing it now. I mean, we've heard from some of our listeners about what they're paying each and every month for child care. We've had some listeners literally tell us it's the most expensive thing they pay every month. Not even close to their mortgage at this point. So,
you can't blame the child care centers. Prices have gone up. You have to hire workers. You have to, you know.
It's crazy.
Yeah, you have to be well equipped to take care of other people's kids.
Turns out.
And that costs money. And so where does the help come from? We'll find out tomorrow when we talk to Ruth.
I'm very excited to have Ruth on so we can get into this conversation tomorrow. In other stuff you need to know, taking a look at Madison schools, because they've created a tiebreaker system for students competing for automatic admission under Wisconsin's new Wisconsin Guarantee Program. The plan still needs state approval, however. The program guarantees admission to most UW campuses for students in the top 10% of their graduating class, while UW-Madison guarantees admission to students in the top 5%. Because many Madison students have identical GPAs and the district needs a way to break ties while staying within the state's strict percentage limits, if approved, tiebreakers would be used in this order. ACT scores, number of college-level courses completed, your AP or your dual credit classes, and then attendance records based on the fewest unexcused absences. The new system would begin with the class of 2027, and several other Wisconsin school districts are pursuing similar waiver requests because they face the same issue with GPA ties. GPA, the ACT scores, these are words that I still recognize, so I wasn't too much into the Stone Age to understand how it all worked. But
well, I still recognize all the words. I just, it's sometimes trying to figure out what sets these kids apart. It's so slim.
Yeah.
Because if you're in that top 5%, you're pretty strong. You're solid. Yeah. You're a solid student. And I remember with, you know, Molly trying to get in different places, and it's, you know, they've got high, you might have higher ACT scores and higher GPA, but somebody knows somebody or somebody does some extracurricular that they might be looking for, or
it's competitive. It is competitive, as depending on what school you're going to, what you're pursuing in higher education. It is very, very competitive.
I'm sure had the environment been as competitive as it is now, I would not have been accepted to most of the places I was accepted to.
This is why our students need more mental health if you joined us last hour in their school districts, because a lot of them are facing these types of pressures too, right?
Yeah, no matter how good you are you good enough?
Yes.
All right, one of the next pieces that you need to know, a meteor streaked across the skies over New England Saturday, creating loud sonic booms that rattled homes and sparked thousands of social media posts from confused residents. NASA says the space rock was about 5 feet wide, weighed roughly as much as an elephant, and entered the Earth's atmosphere at 42,000 miles an hour. The meteor broke apart above New England, releasing energy equal to about 230 tons of TNT, which caused the booming sound people heard across the region. NASA confirmed the object was a natural meteor, not a satellite or a piece of space junk. After traveling about 26 miles through the atmosphere, the remaining fragments likely fell into Cape Cod Bay off the coast of Massachusetts. Then there was video footage on the news last night of a meteor streaking across the Midwest sky for about 14 seconds. It was crazy.
Yes.
The sky is falling, Chicken Little, and we're gonna get knocked unconscious by it.
Get
a helmet, Parker.
This is why anybody who always is like, space is so cool. It is really cool, but this is the type of stuff falling from space that actually kind of scares me. But 42,000 miles per hour. I can't even fathom something the size of an elephant streaking through the sky at 42,000.
And then exploding.
Right?
Bam.
That's true craziness. Science is pretty cool, though, when you think about it. The fact that it's just floating up there right now, too, right?
Just waiting.
Yeah, it is.
Watching us.
It's literally just
aliens.
Waiting.
It's terrifying. What's the big story, Jamie?
Well, the big story is more on voting rights. And it turns out that a Dane County judge is now involved because they heard some arguments in a lawsuit that could actually expand voting access for Wisconsin residents with print disabilities, including many blind and visually impaired voters who currently struggle to complete their paper absentee ballots independently. Now, this particular lawsuit was brought by the Disability Rights of Wisconsin and the League of Women Voters. They're arguing that requiring voters to rely on a spouse, caregiver, or assistant to fill out an absentee ballot takes away their right to cast a private and secret vote. I mean, and that makes sense because we're always told that our votes are private. We don't have to share those, but then if you do have a disability, we don't actually have a way for those people to vote without somebody being in the booth with them.
And isn't that one of the big gripes that these election deniers have, that somebody else is getting ballots and filling them out? So if you're, you know, for that alone, they should be, we have to make sure everybody has a chance to fill out their own ballot. Because, you know, if I'm one of those conspiracy nut jobs who say the elections are stolen, well, what if I'm visually impaired and I tell my husband to put down my Trump vote.
Right.
And he doesn't like Trump. And so he goes, oh, yes. Yes, honey, I put your Trump vote in. And I voted for anybody. I voted for the meteor the size of an elephant.
It's a true test of honesty and trust, isn't it? If you're going yeah. in those particular cases. But for people who support this, they literally want voters with print disabilities to be able to receive, read, complete, and return absentee ballots electronically using screen readers, speech synthesizers, and other accessibility tools. They also say that this would be a very reasonable accommodation under the Americans with Disabilities Act. And I was thinking about that yesterday as I was reading through the story before I even got there. That's exactly what popped into my head. Yeah. I was like, but what about the Americans with Disabilities Act? Shouldn't this be something that we already do and this shouldn't be a question?
It doesn't sound like a hard fix.
No.
And you're right, though. It's when you hear it, you go, why wasn't... We're really not doing this?
Right.
We do everything else.
Right.
Which we should, but that's not the point. The point is, why hasn't somebody thought of this before? You're visually impaired and you can't read the ballot, what do we do?
The fact that this is just now a lawsuit is kind of insane, actually, when you think about how long the Americans with Disabilities yes. Act has been around and the fact that this suit is being brought by a disability rights organization. Now, there was one plaintiff in this particular case. He's a blind Wisconsin voter, and he says he can't independently read or mark a paper absentee ballot. And a lot of times he faces challenges when he's traveling to polling places as well, especially during bad weather. Now, there was already a lower court involved in this particular case who ordered Wisconsin to allow electronic delivery of absentee ballots before the 2024 election. That ruling, though, was paused after an appeal by Republican legislative leaders. The proposed system would still have required voters to return completed ballots by mail or in person. Why do we, again, I know I ask this question all the time. At this point, it's rhetorical, but why would you want it to be harder for voters to vote? I mean, just because it doesn't mean...
Because they might not vote for me.
Well, they might, or they might vote for you. Not, I mean, you know...
Yeah, but what if they don't?
I guess that's a chance you're going to take. But at the same time, I don't know why we're making it so difficult for people to actually vote. And by the way, this is a big case. If you're listening to this today and you're like, it doesn't really bother me. Just remember that 110,000 Wisconsin voters with print disabilities would be affected by this, which would ultimately determine whether those electronic absentee voting systems become an accessibility in the future. So... Interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. It's one of those things that makes you stop and say, wait, all this progress we've made for people with disabilities, and then it seems like one of the simplest ones we just have maybe not thought of. But somebody thought of this before. Somebody had to.
It always comes down to me for accessibility and being able to vote. This shouldn't ever have to. Why do these things have to go to courts of law? I mean, this is just a basic principle that we should have in this country. We should be able to vote. It doesn't matter what the disability is. We should be able to vote as citizens of this country.
I agree. I'm thinking it, and we don't have time to go through all the scenarios, but all right, how do we do it? If we mail, say, a Braille ballot or that, well, the people still have to get it back somehow.
Right.
There's challenge on that one. There's so many challenges, but there's a lot of smart people who could figure it out.
Right. Probably smarter
than
we
us. Heard, is Frank alive? Are we doing Swipe or Stay?
I think he's here.
He's looming.
He's
looming.
Oh, he's looming. Yes. I love that. He's looming. Looming. All right.
Well, looming.
And we'll get a quick rabbit update,
too. It's the
voice. She's Jamie Martinson. I'm Brian Noonan, and this is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
7:22 right now. Hopefully you're having a great start to your Wednesday. Thank you for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. It is time for Swipe or Stay. And this is where we put the politics aside. We dive into the world of celebrities and sports figures and things that are not necessarily politically related with our senior producer, Frank. How are you today?
I am good. We were just, if you want to be updated on the Bunny saga, we'll talk about that more between breaks.
All right.
But, so we've got a good Swiper State today.
All right. We're excited.
Good. Here's how it's going to work if you're new to the show. I'm going to read some pop culture headlines. Brian and Jamie are going to have to decide whether to stay or swipe on to the next story. Parker gets to be the tiebreaker if they can't decide. So story number one today, CBS loses another high-profile employee.
Oh, I've been following this story. I know it.
Stay.
Stay.
Yeah.
So CBS News has fired veteran 60 Minutes correspondent Scott Pelley just a day after he had a clash with the show's new executive producer. The reason for the firing was Pelley voiced his displeasure with the hiring of said executive producer, Nick Bilton, at the meeting where they introduced Nick Bilton.
Awkward.
During the clash, Pelley reportedly questioned why Bilton would even accept the role, given the resistance he was facing from longtime staffers.
Wow.
Afterwards, he was sent a letter leading up to his termination, saying that it was from the executive producer, saying he was really excited to get to work together and hoped that they could hash things out, but clearly you have no intention of doing so. And then sent the formal termination letter.
Wow.
Performative hysteria or performative cruelty or something like that was one of the words that the executive producer used.
Yeah.
There's audio of it too. Scott Pelley did not hold back.
No.
But good.
I mean,
it's nice to have that kind of security where you go, I don't need this job and you are ruining things and I'm going to speak my mind and I'm going to rest on my reputation because you're going to have to pay for yours.
Yeah, absolutely.
Loved it.
Next. Never ends with CBS.
No, I was going to say sad state over there. Yeah.
Hip hop artist says they won't quit on America 250.
Swipe.
I'll stay.
Parker, swipe or stay, baby.
I'm scared. Stay.
Come on.
Oh, man. Sure. Just about every other artist has dropped out of performing at the Great American State Fair this summer. But have no fear, everyone. Vanilla Ice says he is not leaving.
Woo, baby.
Ice, baby.
In an interview with Fox News, Vanilla Ice said, I'm reinforced. I'm here. I am committed. You commit, you don't quit, man. And that's how I am.
That's Hammer is too legit to quit, not Vanilla Ice.
It is Hammer. He stole that. But yeah, Brian, I think you nailed it. I mean, Vanilla doesn't have his home restoration show anymore. And at some point, you gotta have some money in the bank. So I'm guessing that's probably what this is.
He went on to say, I'm happy that Trump's putting this on. I'm honored that he invited me. I've played for him many times. They're great friends of mine.
Oh.
This comes after saying he would perform for anybody, including Vladimir Putin.
Wow.
So, Vanilla Ice, congratulations on getting that money that you need very much.
I thought you were going to talk about the second half of the CNC Music Factory who recorded a speech while sitting on the toilet.
No, this is that Vanilla Ice.
That was great video. That guy, but I don't think you could play any of it.
No,
I probably can't.
No,
you could not.
You know, when I look up these stories, sometimes I look at stuff and I go, I can't do anything because of copyright issues.
Yeah.
And then there's some things I go, I just legally can't play this period.
Yeah. Well, that would have been one of them.
Yeah.
All right. What's next on the hit parade?
Former NHL star reports shots fired by neighbor.
Oh, I'll stay.
Stay.
Good, because this one's pretty good. So, interesting story. Yesterday, there was a report from former NHL instigator Sean Avery's residence that there were shots fired while he was getting work done on his house. LAPD responded to a call at Sean's home for criminal threats around 10 a.m. The caller stated the suspect was a neighbor who had been harassing and threatening the contractors. The caller told officers this had been an ongoing issue. Shots were fired, hitting one of the contractor's tires. The neighbor is now in custody, and that's all we know right now.
Wow.
Sean Avery and his wife were not home during this.
Wow.
Frank, Lynn points out, and this is a good clarification, Freedom 250 is the president's debacle.
Yes.
America 250 is a decade-old program that is run by a bipartisan congressional group.
Yes.
Freedom 250 is Trump's money grab with, merger.
My apologies.
Thank you for the clarification, though, Lynn.
Thank you,
appreciate
Lynn, for
it.
The clarification, even though Frank hates to be correct.
It's the same thing. Anyway.
Oh, not the same thing at all, but go ahead.
Taylor Swift wedding invite updates.
I know I'm not getting one, so I'm just to be, curmudgeonly, I'm going to swipe.
Swipe on this one.
Ted Lasso star hints at on-set tension.
Ooh,
stay.
Oh, now we're staying, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we like
Anna Waddingham said that her and Jason Sudeikis have very much a love-hate relationship.
Oh, what? Interesting.
Oh, man.
During an interview with Variety, Waddingham talked about Sudeikis' infamous rewrite process when shooting the show, saying he hears it in the room, and then we tweak everything. With that boy, you've got to roll with the punches. He and I have an ongoing love-hate relationship that he changes everything last minute.
Wow.
She does go on to say that the cast texts or calls each other every week. So despite the frustration, I think everybody's okay. Sudeikis is just difficult with rewrites.
I love that show.
That's it for Swipe.
I love Anna Waddingham. She's, very talented woman.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Frank. It's very good. I'm sorry you're not getting invited to Taylor Swift's wedding.
I'm not.
All right. Should governments be able to block controversial figures from entering the country? We'll talk about that. It's Daybreak. I'm Brian. She's Jamie. This is the Civic Media Network.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
It's 7:35 right now. Thank you for joining us this morning. It is the Accelerate Your Summer Text Win Multi-State Contest, and we are still taking qualifiers for this hour. You have about 25 more minutes to get the word to us using the Civic Media app. It's your chance to win $100 in daily prizes, maybe even a Wisconsin Dells prize package, and then every entry also puts you into the grand prize drawing for $250 in gas and another $250 in groceries. And we've had a lot of people enter already this morning, Brian, but there's lots more time.
There is more time, and it's very, very simple. As Jamie said, get your Civic Media app and text this word. The word for this hour is park, P-A-R-K, park. Park. Go to the park. So you type that in, text it to us on the Civic Media app, and you are entered. Man, you've got time.
Yes.
And don't worry.
Lots of time.
You get this one in. 9 o'clock, there's going to be a new word.
Yeah.
Listen all day. Enter as many times as you want. Because every time you enter, even if you don't win the daily prize, like Jamie said, you're qualified for the grand prize. And that's $250 in gas, $250 in groceries. That's $500 total if you can't do the math yourself. That's why I'm here.
Well, it's
simple
early.
Math.
It's early. I get it if you can't do the math. But yes, text the word, and we'll give you a couple more reminders before 8 o'clock. But park, as Brian said, is your word, P-A-R-K. And look at on command, you guys are so good and
that
so
is
smart.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you for listening this morning. We appreciate it.
Good luck. I mean, I wish everybody, this is hokey to say, but I do wish everybody could get $100.
Right?
But every day, all through, so what's today, Wednesday?
Yes.
We got two more days this week and 5 days next week. You got a lot of chances to win all day, not just on our show.
Right.
But, do it. All right, Jamie, I saw you had brought this story, and I'm not really familiar with it, so I'm going to let you run with it because I saw the headlines, and I read the story. I'm not familiar with these guys.
Yeah.
We're at the center of it, though.
Well, if you listen to any, and Frank actually put me onto this story, and then I started doing a little research on it. It is interesting, and it goes back to the show Young Turks, if you watch on YouTube. It's a podcast, right? And they've got a huge following, about 2.8 million Twitch followers. It's a very progressive political commentary. And obviously, if you're that progressive, there's a lot of criticism of the current president, Israel, and the war in Gaza. So the British authorities have barred the two commentators from Young Turks, Hassan Piker and Sank Weger, from entering the United Kingdom, and actually canceled their travel authorization shortly before they were scheduled to speak at an event in London. The UK Home Office said that the decision was based on concerns that their presence may not be conducive to the public good, a legal standard the government can use when deciding whether foreign visitors can actually enter a country. Now, Piker is actually a Turkish-American. He's actually Turkish-American. The controversy, and Uyghur, I should say, is the founder and the host of Young Turks. Now, the controversy centrals in part on comments that Piker made about Hamas. During a podcast appearance from earlier this year, he said he would vote for Hamas over Israel as a lesser evil choice. Of course, those comments, as you can imagine, drew a lot of criticism because Hamas is a terrorist organization and has been designated so by both the United States and the United Kingdom. And now they want to get into the country. They want to go do the speaking engagement, and British lawmakers who supported the decision argued that someone perceived as expressing support for a proposed terrorist organization should not be given a platform in the country. In fact, one of the Labour MPs said that there was no reason to welcome speakers who promote division or appear sympathetic to extremist groups. So it's an interesting story, and with all of their online followers, this is getting a lot of press, a lot of press. And, you know, the support for Hamas, we saw that during the 2024 election, especially amongst college campuses across the country. It was part of what the Republican Party condemned Kamala Harris for, because there wasn't a full-out her saying, don't do this right away. You know, this is a terrorist organization. She didn't do that right away. So there was a lot of controversy mixed into the 2024 election over the non-statements. And so now we're seeing the ramifications of that in England and, you know, trying to get into the country.
It's one of those things where while I disagree with any stifling of opinions, England has different rules and laws than we do. Now, and I would be hypocritical if I said, oh, they should let them in and let them speak. And then if I thought, well, if they were stopping some ultra right wing person from doing it, and I was against that. So it's a tough line, but I think we can't judge England by our standards. If they were coming here, I mean, I know they're American, but let's just say they were English citizens and they were coming here to talk, and people didn't like their commentary, I'd say, well, then either don't go, don't listen, or go and listen and see what they have to say. Actually see what they have to say rather than what has been reported. Or go and protest that they're there. All of those things are fine, but we can't do that because it's not our country.
Right.
I don't, you know, I think reading that statement, or reading the quote kind of that he would vote for Hamas as a lesser evil, I'm sure that's missing a lot of context because we didn't hear the whole episode. Some things are said hyperbolically, some things, and maybe he meant it seriously.
Sure.
But either way, that's his opinion. Now, just like I say here, and free speech does not mean free from consequences. This is the consequence. You don't have to like it. And I know, you know, their supporters are not going to like it. But that's the way it goes. Again, if it was here and the government was shutting them down, that would be a violation of their First Amendment rights.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And so the question this morning, and the U.S. is not innocent in shutting down. And we'll get into that in a second. But the question for you this morning is, should governments be able to block these controversial figures or does it violate their free speech? 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. If you have an opinion on this, either in text or a phone call, we'd love to hear from you. Now, of course,
I was going to say, we have to draw a distinction, I think, right, between a native citizen of that country and somebody coming into that country, a visitor to that country. Isn't it different? Because they're here. Nobody stopped them from saying whatever right. they wanted here in America. This is their country. This is where they're citizens. I think there has to be a distinction to say, okay, if I'm going to another country with different rules, they have different responsibilities, different rights than we do.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So should our government do it? Absolutely not. Can another government do it to our citizens? Yeah, unfortunately, they have that right. And, but our government should never be quashing free speech.
Right. And
citizens.
And I've got to make a correction. We've got a fan of Young Turks chiming in over on our YouTube chat. The correct pronunciation, I've seen it both ways. He is saying it's Uyghur. He watches the show, so I'll take the pronunciation I'm getting over on YouTube. I saw people pronouncing it both ways online. So we'll go with Uyghur this morning since this is a fan of the show.
I like that. I've heard it both ways. And I'm sure you have.
I've heard both people on all over talk about it in different ways, and I've heard different people pronounce it differently. But Piker and Uyghur argue that this isn't really about Hamas. They say that this is essentially their criticism of Israel and the war in Gaza. Now, I mentioned that the United States is not innocent in doing this either, right? There's actually a long history in this country of denying visas or entry to foreign nationals over controversial speech, political activism, or statements made online. And immigration law, interestingly enough, gives the federal government in this country broad authority to block entry based on national security, foreign policy concerns, or ideological grounds. I mean, there have been cases that have played out in the press. There was an Islamic scholar, Tariq Ramadan, who was barred from entering the United States after accepting a teaching position at Notre Dame. There was a Palestinian activist who faced travel restrictions and visa issues tied to his advocacy work. More recently, there were several European digital rights and free speech advocates who were reportedly targeted with visa restrictions after disputes over online speech and content moderation. There's also been reports, Brian, of travelers being questioned, detained, or denied entry after border officials reviewed social media posts or messages critical of U.S. government policies. Mm-hmm. So the U.S. government is not innocent in doing this sort of blockade, essentially, either, if they feel like there is some harm to public safety.
And again, if it's keeping people out who are not citizens, that's one thing. If I'm traveling abroad and I come home and they look at my social media, you can't do that. No.
Right.
I it's really difficult for me because I want to hold other countries to our standards and our citizens' rights, and that's not always the case. And I do, as much as I find it distasteful that our government is doing that too. But in a weird way, I can understand it.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but I could say, okay, we've got, not that we have enough dissent at home. There's never enough dissent if things are wrong. But you know what I mean? We can talk about ourselves.
Right.
We don't need you coming in from the outside to talk about us. It's like, you'd never talk against the family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if I'm an American and I'm overseas and I speak out, I still should be allowed to come home.
Yeah.
Because it's still my right to speak. You can't stop me. And if that government didn't arrest me for agitating, then leave me alone.
And I think that this is interesting with the reach that the Young Turks have, too, right? Because they're able to talk about this to a much broader audience than maybe others might be able to.
Sure.
And Britain is defending this, in case you're wondering, by saying that their decision is because of the tensions in the country right now over anti-Semitism, pro-Palestinian activism, and then, of course, the public debate over the Israel-Gaza war. The UK government has recently taken a much tougher stance toward individuals that it believes might actually contribute to extremism, the hate speech, and public unrest. And
you can tell me that, I'm sorry to interrupt, but
no, please.
Are they known? I've never heard the Young Turks. I've heard of the Young Turks.
Mm-hmm.
Are they usually provocateurs of hate speech and anti-Semitism and things like that? Or are they just opposed to...
I believe it's just an opposition, right, to some of the actions by Israel. And if you are a fan of Young Turks, please chime in. I don't get to watch the show often. I've watched a few episodes, so I'm not a regular viewer like some of you might be. So please correct us if we're wrong. Yeah. I believe it's just an opposition.
855-75-CIVIC, if you want to jump in quick, you can text or you can call, because if there's a difference between hate speech
right.
and criticism.
Right.
And if the UK is labeling them as somebody who might be coming in promoting hate speech and anti-Semitism, that makes more sense. If they're just critical of Israel, well, there's a lot of people critical of Israel.
Right.
A lot of people critical of Trump. A lot of people critical of a lot of things. There's a huge difference.
Yeah.
And so to not take that into effect is dangerous. So.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost Flag Day. That's that's good news, right?
It
Especially
is.
If you're in Appleton, we'll tell you all about it. And if you have that information on the Young Turks, let us know.
Please.
It is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It's 7:48. You're listening to Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Across the state of Wisconsin, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie is back.
7:52 right now, and Brian, I will say that you have 8 minutes left to accelerate your summer with the multi-state text win contest. The first word of the hour has come and will be going in 8 minutes, and park is your word. P-A-R-K, that is the word you need to text us using your Civic Media app. Good. Some really great prizes involved, though.
Yeah, you could win $100 and a Wisconsin Dells prize pack every day. We're giving those away. And then the grand prize, which you are entered in, even if you don't win the daily prize, you're entered in the grand prize drawing for $250 in gas and $250 in groceries. I was just entering on all my burner
there
accounts. So this is I am stacking the deck. I need a side hustle.
That's
and
right.
Cheating the system is my side hustle.
I mean, right now, though, $500 in gas and groceries is not a bad deal. Love it.
If I could get $250
right?
in gas and another $250 in groceries, I would be a happy, happy man.
Yes. So park one more time. That is your word. And get that in before 8 o'clock. P-A-R-K is the word we need using your Civic Media app. So good luck to everybody who's entered. And thank you for all of the entries so far this morning. You guys are awesome.
We're glad you're listening. We're glad you're participating. I'll be honest. I pay attention to Flag Day only to put my flag out.
Right.
I know, today's Flag Day. Let me make sure I have my flag out. But if you live in Appleton, that's not the case.
No.
Appleton goes big on Flag Day. The
really
75th anniversary of Appleton's Flag Day Parade is going to take place in downtown Appleton Saturday, June 13th. It was first organized in 1950 by the Appleton Elks Club. It's recognized as the nation's oldest Flag Day parade. Who knew?
That's so
right
cool.
There in Appleton.
It's very, very cool. And if you want to go to this parade and be a little part of history, 75 years of a parade is pretty darn special. It's going to it's going to step off at 2 o'clock near State Street and College Avenue. The route this year has been condensed for some safety reasons. Interestingly
Ooh,
enough,
cryptic.
Yes.
What kind of safety reasons?
I'm not
in
sure.
Appleton?
If you're in Appleton, please let us know these safety reasons are.
What's going on over there?
I'm going to wonder if there's a little road construction or something. But the theme of the parade this year is Stars, Stripes, and New Beginnings. And it's going to feature nearly 20 musical units, including Quantico Marine Band, Navy Band Great Lakes, the 484th Army Band, the 1st Brigade Band, Americanos Alumni Association, the 2/5 Party Band, Big Top Brass, Elite Striders, and the Badger Band, which, of course, features members of the University of Wisconsin Band. band. So very, wow. very awesome. And of course, there's going to be some local marching bands involved. Sure. We always love to watch them. The Appleton Public High Schools will be part of this. The Valley Troubadours, the New Horizons, Lakeside Lutheran High School, the Lutheran Vanguard, and Appleton
Holy
City
cow.
Band is all going to be part of it. So music, and we're going to have a little party in Appleton at the 75th Parade. I love it.
Yeah, and they're doing a pre-parade concert by the 484th Army Band in Houdini wow. Plaza, and then the 5th Brigade, 1st Brigade Band, a Civil War era band from Watertown is going to be there. Then the annual Pride Festival starts with a promenade on College Street at 11:30, so that's before the warm-up, and then the Pride festivities will continue at Jones Park all day. So Appleton is the place to be on the 13th.
I love this. This is going to be a really good time. So if you're in the area or you just want to hear a whole lot of really great marching bands, I guess this is what you have to do. But
yeah, is Flag Day, are parades on Flag Day a big thing?
I don't
or just
know.
Because with, I mean, it is in Appleton.
Sure.
And they, like I said, 75th anniversary of their parade. So that's cool. I don't remember ever it, like,
yeah.
Here's how I judge. Did Molly have to march in a parade on that day when she was in marching band? And there was never a Flag Day parade. And they marched in all kinds of parades.
Sure.
And I love watching high school bands because everybody looks miserable in their heavy uniforms
yes.
On a 95-degree day walking down the street
yes.
in those shiny black patent leather
yes.
marching shoes. Yeah,
can I tell you a fun little story? And again, this will go back to my Baraboo roots only because I know this. The marching band in Baraboo actually has two uniforms. They have
okay.
their shiny, you know, traditional
yes.
march, and then they also get to wear clowns costumes too for certain occasions.
Oh, stop it!
Yes, and so
I love that.
The circus parade will be marching through Baraboo streets also on June 13th. So plan wisely, folks.
How do they march in those big shoes, though?
They don't have big shoes.
You'd
they
think
wear
they'd
regular,
be tripping all
they
over
wear
each
regular
other.
White sneakers, but they have like the big, like they have a wig and they have
hilarious.
Like the it's a tradition and they look amazing and it sets them apart. So there's gonna
yeah, because that's circus parade day. The
yes,
13th.
Yes. So there's
how am I going to get from Appleton to
I know there is so much happening on the 13th. Really, honestly, over the next couple of weekends in the state of Wisconsin, I'm telling you, if you can't find something to do, you're really not trying hard enough because there is so much going on over the next couple of weekends
wow.
throughout this entire state. And we'll talk about more of it throughout the week. But really, honestly, you will not be for a lack of things because every
nice.
Community has really great festivals. There's parades happening. It's going to be a really good time throughout the state. So please partake in some of these fun events. And I love the ones that have this much history behind them. I mean, 75
yeah,
years is a crazy long time to be having a parade. So,
and I've said this before, I am not a, other than Mardi Gras, I am not a big parade guy.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate the fact that all the work that goes into the parades,
mm-hmm.
and I've sat through all the parades that as I watched Molly march, and even before that we would go to the parade. It's fun,
yeah.
And this one has a special meaning. I'd love to maybe next year we'd talk to somebody from the Appleton Elks Club, find out how this
yeah.
is the thing.
Yeah,
you know. Oh, Mark, very, very worried that it might be. I don't think it's a happy birthday Trump parade.
I think it's just a traditional parade, and
yeah, they've been doing this long before since Trump was a baby. So
yeah.
this is, you know.
I mean, what I love about a parade with this much background and this much history too is in a country that feels very divided and polarized right now, we still have events like this where we can bring communities together and praise the marching bands from the military and the high schools. I love
yes.
that.
And this is the kind of great again that when I
yes.
hear that horrible phrase that's been co-opted, this is what I'm thinking of, a community getting together to celebrate
yes.
and honor and enjoy themselves and have a big day out in the sun. All right, listen, when we come back, there is so much more. It's Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martins at 7:59 right now. You are listening to the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.